Matthew chapter 15. I've been doing some studying out of Hebrews, getting ready for the Bible conference down in Silsby. I'll be down there, I think it's the 16th, whatever it is, of December. They're preaching on characters in the faith chapter of Hebrews chapter 11. I have Enoch. I got in on the front end of that. I was going to pick Abraham, but Brother Wilson beat me to the draw on that one. But I guess the Lord wanted me to speak on Enoch. Enoch's exciting. I'm starting to get excited about the message itself. I don't like themes. I hate somebody telling me what to preach on, but, you know, that's what they're doing. I never would do a theme. I always believe the Lord puts the theme together, and He does a better job than I could do. But it's going to be exciting to hear that set of messages. I will give them credit for that. It's going to be exciting to hear them about the people of faith, not men, but people of faith. There's some women in there, too. I hope you got a copy of your newsletter. This is our 889th newsletter. Not all of them have been counted. We're probably up a few more than that. And we haven't put one out every week that I've been here, certainly, but... in fact, we didn't even do a newsletter when I first came here. We were doing part of the Country Baptist Church's newsletters back then. So, I hope you have read over your prayer list. If there's anybody on there that we need to remove, let me know. If there's anybody we need to add, let me know. And I will certainly do that. Article I wrote, God Will Never Forsake His Children. That's from 1 Samuel 12, 22 through 24. And then quotes of truth from John Newton. I love John Newton's writings. He wrote the song Amazing Grace and went through a lot of things in life. He did. He went through a lot of things in life. And I tried to pick out some very good quotes he had, and I hope that I picked out some good ones. Sister Marilyn has a birthday Wednesday. Happy birthday, sister. And I pray that everybody's had a good week. We've had doctor visits galore. I mean, just seems like every day we're going to doctors. I have physical therapy every day. We went to Longview on Saturday, went to Little Rock on Thursday, Longview on Saturday. We're going back to Longview tomorrow to finish up that doctor's visit. They got to take some x-rays. And then we don't know where we're going from there. My physical therapist wrote my doctor, my surgeon, a letter and told him there's something wrong with my shoulder. It's not just more therapy needed. So hopefully something will take place there. My surgeon and I don't get along very well because I don't like rude people, and he's rude. And, you know, he's done his schooling and his education, and he's the surgeon, and he has the right to be rude if he wants to, I guess. I don't know. That's what people keep telling me. That's okay. Even up there at Dr. Anderson released my hand. She says doing well, just need to get some more strength in it and it'll be fine, so I'm glad for that. Dr. Schock has released my shoulder of sore, not officially. He told me to do 3 more weeks of physical therapy and go back to work. But I still can't lift my arm above right there, so, you know... If I lift any weights, it hurts. It hurts a lot just sitting around. I think the rotator cuff is tore loose, therapy or something. But I'm just a dumb old country boy. I don't know anything. I've read up on it online. That's pretty much what it says. Anyway, do pray about that if you will. And they're going to, I think, try to get me another doctor to go to. We're going to be in our study that we're having. We started a study, and it's going to be, I started it out for 2 or 3 weeks. It looks like it may work into maybe 3 or 4 weeks. We'll see. If we end the year with this, this will be okay. This is a very good message for us to hang our hats on. going into the new year. And this message deals with church, any church, not just our church, but any church. And what I want to do in this set of messages is not to cover everything involving the churches, but to involve a lot of things that the church needs to hang their hat on. A lot of things that the church needs to scotch their faith in, and to scotch their belief in. And that is what makes the church function, and what makes the church go, and what makes the church successful. We live in a time when a lot of churches, and I'm not talking about secondary that calls themselves churches, I'm talking about some, what I've been told, real churches have floated away from a lot of the truths. And that's sad. It's sad when churches, I don't know if they're just not strong in faith, I don't know if the Lord's just not holding them, I don't know if the pastors are not doing a good job in them, I don't know what's going on with them, but when a church drifts from the truth, and when the church fails in her responsibility, and most of that responsibility falls right on the feet of the man in the pulpit. The man in the pulpit is a leader of the church. The church has been put into his care, and the church functions under his teachings, and the strength of the church falls from the pastor down. So if the church doesn't have a strong pastor, if he's wishy-washy, or if he won't stand up on the truth, or if he gets scared that someone's going to leave the church, or he's going to insult someone or hurt someone's feelings, well, then he can't do his job. I'm just going to put it out boldly. He's not going to be able to do his job. A pastor's job and responsibility to the Lord's churches is to treat the church as the Lord wants the church treated. And that is to teach them in all things, be an under-shepherd. Under-shepherd is a shepherd under the shepherd. And to be the leader of the church. An overseer of the Lord's flock. A watchman of the Lord's flock. And to make sure that the men in the church and the women in the church are staying strong in the teachings of God's word. Because if things start to fold in the church, you got a major problem occurring. But don't ever forget, the Lord said in Revelation to the church at Ephesus that if a church doesn't do their rightly duties, the Lord and the truth, stand upon the truth, the Lord will come in, remove the candlestick, and they'll no longer be a church. Until they repent, come back to that truth, straighten out that truth, and start teaching truth, and the Lord will put it back in. We're going to get into expulsion. Expulsion will be our last teaching on this, I think. I don't know, once you get going with this and get studying, then you know which way you might go with it. Last week we looked deeply at our introduction into this, and I'm not going to get back into that. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16. I want to go to Revelation sometime, and I don't even think we have a Revelation scripture this morning. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, when the Lord is talking to Simon Peter and other disciples here, and he's asked him, who he is, and he tells him who he is, and he tells him that the flesh and blood hadn't revealed that to him, that God had revealed it unto him. And then he goes in verse 18, he says, I say unto thee, Peter, thou art Peter. Now, Peter is a small pebble, okay? He's comparing Peter to Jesus, is what he's doing. And upon this rock, that rock, word for rock, is a massive boulder. He says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The Lord says, upon himself, with him being the foundation of the church, he's going to build his church, not a universal and visible church, but a local New Testament church, and build it into a superstructure where there's millions, if not billions, of local New Testament churches, all built upon the one foundation, not upon the man Peter, but on the man Jesus Christ. He's the only one that the church could possibly stand upon. No man has ever been good enough for such a superstructure to stand upon, have they? Ever. I mean, I'm starting to look at Enoch and Hebrews and how bold God was talking about Enoch. Isn't it something when God actually talks highly of you? And he did Enoch, and he did also others in the Bible. And a man like Paul, who came from Saul of Tarsus to Paul, the apostle to the church age, the 12th apostle of Jesus Christ, and became what he was, writing 13, 14 books of the Bible, maybe more. We don't even know how many he actually wrote, but we know in that area. And wrote them books, and at the final of it all, he just said, "Hey, I am what I am by the grace of God." That's all we all are, folks. We are what we are by God's grace. So we got down to 1 Corinthians 14, if you'll turn over there now. We ended with this thought, and I'm going to read the last paragraph of my introduction of last week and go propel right into the first point. And the last paragraph goes, as pastor, it's my job to make sure everything is done in the church in decency and order. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40, it says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." This means let all things be done in an appropriate manner as the worship of God is to be, and decently and in order, or in appropriate order. As pastor, if a pastor fails, then the church will fail. The church will fail to rightly serve God. It will fail to properly glorify the Savior. That's what the church is for. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about all of us together. It's about Jesus Christ. The church is referred to metaphorically as the body of Christ. And therefore, it should perform itself and make sure that the character of itself is a functioning body of Christ. And therefore, it takes a lot on us. We don't realize sometimes what God is telling us when God tells us things. And the Lord says here that things in the church is to be done in an appropriate manner. That is, all things done in decency and in order. And therefore, it is up to us, it is up to me as your leader and you as a church, to make sure that everything that we do is a proper form. So our first point is the church services. We want to look at the church services, or the functioning of the church itself in the service form. Now, I preach a lot of things, and sometimes I'm harsh. Sometimes I may be too harsh. Sometimes I may be too bold. I don't know what's too bold. I once asked Brother Charles Hammond what was too bold, and Brother Hammond told me, "You can't be too bold." So, therefore, I try to always be bold. Brother Horace also agreed with that you can't be too bold. And Brother Horace was one of the more lighter ones. Charles was pretty bold, and Horace was too, but he was a little bit lighter than Charles was in all things. And I learned from both of them and tried to be like both of them two men, because they were both mentors in my learning and upbringing as a minister of the gospel. But we have to be bold. A pastor must be bold. Everything starts with a pastor in the church service. He must make sure that the church functions and walks in unity and in doing everything in decent and in order. And if he's teaching the word of God as God directs him, it will. So the church service itself We're going to start with this, that everything is to be done decent and order. Every phase of the church, the teaching, the believing, the attendance, the standing of the faith should be done honestly or scripturally and in official dignity or being quality, worthy of their call and being worthy and honorable of the church's work for the Lord. That's what we ought to be. And that's what each one of us as a church member need to make sure of. We can't run around loosey-goosey, as they so say, and allow things to affect us and affect our church services and affect our church status. We cannot overlook things. I know sometimes I make people mad. Sometimes I make my wife upset. Sometimes I make my family upset. Sometimes I make you all upset. It's not on purpose. I'm just doing what the Lord tells me to do as a pastor. And if I'm going to step aside and let things happen in the church and not approach those things and tend to those things, then I'm going to have to do it for my family. I'm going to have to do it for the Millettes. I'm going to have to do it for the Hendersons. I'm going to have to do it for Sister Hawkins and Brother Medic and his family and everybody else. Everybody else, I'll just have to do it for them. We must, as Christians, as church members, realize that we have an obligation to the Lord and church. And that's to make sure everything's done decent and in order. Not what makes me happy or makes you happy, but what makes the Lord happy. Let's look at the membership. If you will, go to Hebrews chapter 10. And verse 25, Hebrews 10, verse 25, a familiar scripture to most of you. Not, he starts out in verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. In other words, what the Lord's telling us here is we need to come together. As a church, we need to be together. We need to be in unity. We need to be in fellowship with each other. We need to be strong in faith. And we must never forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That doesn't mean you're not going to miss church. But when members quit coming, when members refuse to come to church, they are weakening themselves and weakening the church. Every member of the Lord's church has a status in the Lord's body. And everyone in the Lord's church is a representative of the Lord's body. We cannot allow things to be carried on in our church that hurts and harms the reputation, so to speak, of the Lord's church. We can't have people out taking drugs. We can't have people out drinking all the time. We can't have people out committing adultery, committing fornication. We can't have people out and our church members that's out in the world doing what the world does. The Lord tells us as church members, as Christians, to come out from among the world and be separate. And if we start allowing things to happen and things to be carried on and we overlook those things long enough, the Lord's going to punish us. And you know where the punishment starts? In the pulpit. If I know about it, it becomes my problem. It becomes my responsibility. And if I fail in my responsibility, you know what could happen? The Lord can kill the church. The Lord can remove the candlestick and kill the church. Even though we may still function in like manner, we will not be a church of Jesus Christ anymore. So we are not to forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the same manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see that day approaching. In other words, what's the Lord tell us in the day approaching? They're going to be a falling away, aren't they? Our church has bylaws. We set those bylaws, and I was asked a couple weeks ago, who sets the laws in church? Well, the Lord sets the laws in church, doesn't he? But the church also has her bylaws. And those bylaws are there for a reason. And it is to protect the church and to make sure the church is always functioning properly, like a well-oiled machine. And one of those rules we have set in place in this church, if you don't come for 3 months and we can't get you back, you're going to be excluded from this church. You're going to be, I'm not going to wait anymore. I have done it before. I'm not going to do it anymore. If I feel like it's been a good 90 days since somebody's been here and they refuse to come back, they are going to be brought before the church for expulsion. You got to keep people that is not even interested in the Lord's house and not even interested in coming to the Lord's house and not giving money to the church and not being a part of the church and fellowshipping with the church. They will not be a part of the church. The church is not about us. It's not about me. It's not about you. The church is about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is his body. This is his church. It belongs to him. It's not about our belief. This is the Lord's church. It's about his belief. It's not about our thoughts. It's about the Lord's thoughts. It's not about our cares. It's about the Lord's cares. It's not about our families. It's about the Lord. It's not whether or not we get insulted. God has never cared anything about insulting anybody. And there's Jesus Christ. God doesn't bother himself with whether or not he hurts your feelings. Or if you get insulted. The Word of God is what it is. And this pastor, for one, is going to preach the Word of God as it is written. If that bothers people, that hurts their feelings, then I'll tell you, like I've told people in the past, this probably isn't the place you need to be. I am not here to put people's rear ends on our pews. That's not my purpose. My purpose here is to care, love, and to watch over the Lord's church and to feed his flock. And to make sure everything's done decently and in order. That is, in an orderly manner, appropriate manner. So if someone leaves and they say, I'm insulted. We had a man to visit the other night. And he was insulted because I told him, yes, we do believe in limited atonement. He didn't care why we believe it. He didn't ask for a scripture why we believe it. It just insulted him because he didn't believe it. If you do not believe like this church, it's not a place for you unless you're willing to learn. I do not build the church. This is the Lord's church. He put every member in the church as it pleased him. Not my job to save sinners. It's not my job to make a church grow. It's my job to feed the sheep, to feed the flock. My job to make sure things are done right. The Lord will build the church. And this church is not for everybody. This is for saved people who have been taught in or willing to be taught in the sovereignty of God. 5 points called TULIP. The 5 points of sovereignty of God is what we teach here. All five of them. We are a landmark Baptist church. We are independent and we are sovereign. Independent in that we are attached to nobody. We're not attached to churches in Fort Worth, churches in Louisiana, churches in Oklahoma. We are associated with them only in friendship and faith and like faith. They don't deal with our church and we don't deal with their church. We are a sovereign, independent body. We answer to nobody but the Lord Jesus Christ. There ain't no fool over in Fort Worth, Texas, like the head of the SBC, telling us what to do. We don't send our money to them, and they don't send their money to us. We don't ask the government for anything, and we don't want anything from the government. And we'd ask them to keep their nose out of our church building. And they're not going to do it, folks. Amen. Ted Cruz just put out a video that they are coming for the churches and for the pastors. The 87,000 new hours agents are coming for the churches and they're coming for the pastors. I hope he's wrong. But that's okay. That's another time. We're not worried about them, are we? We worry about them. We take care of the Lord, our Lord take care of us, Lordy. So it's not about us, it's not about our beliefs, it's not about our thoughts, it's not about our cares, it's not about our families, or whether or not we get insulted. It's about the membership, and the membership that can work together in unity for one purpose. Anybody know what that purpose is? To be the pillar and ground of truth. The church is a pillar and ground of truth. That's what we are. Pillar and ground of truth. If we lose those pillars, and you can't lose one without losing the other, then we're nothing. You can't be a church if you're not a pillar and ground of truth. Amen. For each member, whether we can or cannot fulfill our commandment, the duty to the Lord, without forsaking the church. For each member to understand that our attendance is not optional, but ordered of the Lord. The Lord did not give us an optional not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. It was an order not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And when members get to the point that they fail to come to church and they have no desire to get up on Sunday morning, put their clothes on, get in their little car, and drive to church, then they don't have any interest in the Lord's church anymore. Church is about the finances. People's not giving money to church, they're not doing their job. Attending church, supporting church, supporting your pastor, supporting the members of the church, supporting your officers in the church, supporting the song leader in the church. It's all about the church doing their responsibility and the pastor doing his responsibility and us together doing our responsibility. Amen. In an orderly fashion, and we can't do that if members are not going to come to church. Because our faithfulness in church attendance encourages others and provokes them to attend church and to do good works for the Lord and His church. Amen. People see us going to church. They know that, hey, they go to church. They see you doing your good works in the church. They say, well, they did their good works in the church. We learn from each other, don't we? We learn from others, don't we? You learn from someone. Someone taught you how to be a good church member. A lot of it was probably examples of other church members around you doing their jobs, doing their responsibilities, making sure that things in the church are getting accomplished, things in the church are getting done. We have business meetings in the church. We do them decently and in order, do we not? The purpose of the business meeting is to find out what the Lord wants us to do as a church. What direction to go. If the men in the church are not going to speak up, if they're not going to give their ideas, if they're not going to tell the church what their feelings are, nothing's going to get done. If Justin don't lead the singing, we're not going to get a good song service going, are we? If I don't do the preaching, we're not going to have a good preaching service, are we? See how everything goes the way it's supposed to go and the way the Lord demands for it to go. He doesn't recommend, He demands. We are the light of truth. People may not like us. They may hate us. They may come here and hear me preach one time and run out the door. They might walk out the door murmuring. Or they might make a joke while they walk out the door and they never come back. They don't hurt my feelings. I don't think I insulted them. I'm not going to ask if I insulted them. Because the Lord had several thousand come to Him one time in John 6, and He preached to them the subject of God, and every one of them, every single one of them, murmured and woke up. Amen. I'm sorry, did Jesus look at the 11 that was remaining and say, oh, did I just do something wrong? You think I might hurt their feelings? Maybe I ought to go to them and talk to them and explain a little more. Maybe I shouldn't teach those things anymore. No, it's not what Jesus said, was it? Jesus never batted an eye. Lord says, they'll hate you because they hate me first. But we're in light of the truth, not only to our own church members, but also to the world and to other churches. And we must ask ourselves as a church together, you know, I'm part of this church, you're part of this church, right? I'm a member of this church, you're a member of this church. I'm responsible for this church, you're responsible for this church. When people look at this church, they look at you, they look at me. When I go up to Tulsa, I look at the church. I look to Brother David O'Neill. I look to Sister Teresa Hodges and Brother Charlie Hodges. I look to Brother David Thorne. They're the church. Same thing at Brother Henson's church. Same thing at Brother Nelson's church. Ain't there been there, but I'm sure it is. All the other churches, same way. When people see the church, it's not about you. It's about us together. Matthew chapter 18, if you will. Third of our second point. I'm trying to finish this point till I get to our next point, which we'll be talking about the government of the church. Right now I'm talking about the inner workings of the church. I'm talking about the church itself and our responsibility to the Lord When God made you a church member, before the foundation of the world, God chose you to be his child. He also chose you to be a church member. Do you know that? Read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, 9, and 10. Well, the Lord ordained your works in life. Whatever you are as a Christian in life, that's what God ordained for you. Therefore, the Lord ordained you to be a part of this church. Let's all do our part. If Larry wasn't doing the finance report, we wouldn't know about how much money we have, would we? We wouldn't know where it's going. He keeps records of those things. Just like Frank. If Frank wasn't doing his job as our church clerk, we wouldn't know what we did last month. I certainly wouldn't know what we did last week. It takes us all, folks. Not just me, but all of us. We are a church together, functioning, should be, as a unified body, walking together as a church in the world. Third, the church is our meeting place with the Lord. No, not this building. This building is our meeting building. We can meet outside under a tree. We can meet at the park, on the pavilion. We could rent a building. We could go anywhere and meet, and the church would be there, wouldn't it? When I speak of the church being our meeting place, it's when we assemble together, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, the Lord says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." Oh my goodness, it's not just us meeting. The Lord meets with us here, doesn't he?
Amen.
The Lord's in our presence. I believe angels look on at our services. Brother Hammond used to teach that, and I believe it. When cloud of witness, I believe that angels actually do look in on our services. I don't think we go as far with the old saints of God looking in, but I believe angels do. Angels are not saints of God. Angels are ministers of God. The church started, Christ started the church for our fellowship with God, the Father, through him by the power of the Holy Spirit. Our fellowship with the Lord is a must for our spiritual good. I've often said, and I mean it, the church is a seminary of biblical learning. I'm your teacher. But I'm not the one that's going to teach you. I'm the one that's going to teach the scripture from the pulpit. If you're going to learn, the Holy Spirit will teach you. Ephesians chapter 4, if you will. For the membership, there must be fellowship. Forsaking the church fellowship is also forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. When is the church together? When we're together, right? So if Brother Frank and Sister Dwana had a fellowship at their house and they wanted all the church to come over, you should try to go. If we have something, we had the viewing of the parsonage a while back, and the church came. I was shocked everybody kind of showed up. Most of you had already seen it, and you still showed up. And what happened? We had a good fellowship, didn't we? We assembled together in my house, and we had a good, well, the church's house, and we had a good fellowship, didn't we? See, that's what happens when churches get together, when people have fellowship. So anytime their church member has something, they invite you over, please try to go. Because if you don't, you're forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Not only is the church for service, but church for fellowship. Fellowship of the Lord's church is important. Is there anybody didn't have a good time at my house? No. Everybody did, didn't you? Go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus in chapter 4, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, that's the church, till we all come together in unity of faith, and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the perfect man, the complete man, unto the measure of the stature of the faithfulness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, or the cunning of craftiness, whereby we lie in wait to be deceived, or to deceive, I'm sorry. But speaking the truth in love, not growing up unto him in all things, But speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, Christ, even though it belongs there, it's been added, Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, make increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Hold on there, I can't preach it all. We are required to be together, to walk together. You know, churches used to live together. That's right. You know why the seven deacons were appointed? I think it's Acts 6. Well, they were appointed to run the church. No, they weren't. Nobody runs the church. Church runs the church. And the Lord is the head over the church. Nobody. When churches allow seven men to run their church, churches are making a grave mistake. Deacons were appointed to help the 11 with their duties. And what was one of their duties? To feed the people and care for the people. Because they were living together. They were basically all together. They didn't all have homes like we do. They didn't get in their car and go home. Go out to eat over tamales or steakhouse or Italian place or anywhere else. They lived together, basically, in the old days. And they weren't 20 people or 15 people. They were thousands of people. The estimate of the Church of Jerusalem was anywhere from 25 to 50,000 people. Lord just kept, once the Holy Spirit empowered the church in Acts 2, they just kept going, didn't they? 5,000, 3,000, 5,000. They just kept growing, didn't they? They were together. The church needs to be together, to be in unity. If people or members fail to attend church, and church functions, then you fail the Lord's command. You fail the church. And you fail to have the right to the fellowship with the Lord's church. It's a privilege. It's an honor. It's an honor to stand in this church's pulpit and teach you. But it's an honor to be a member of this church. It's an honor for you to be a member of this church. You're not doing the Lord a favor. You're not doing the church a favor. The church will survive without you. The Lord will make sure the church survives without you. The Lord's doing you the honor of allowing you to be a part of the Lord Jesus Christ's church. Jesus promised we're just a few meets, he's with them. Where two or three are gathered together in my name. So numbers of people doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, folks. What matters is who we are. And we are what God has made us together. Real quickly. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I'll try to get done in the next 2 or 3 minutes. In fact, we'll end with 1 Corinthians 5 and Hebrews chapter 2. I'll get to them within the next 2 minutes. 3 or 4, whatever. Numbers are not important. The presence and the power of Jesus Christ is what's important. If numbers were important, then First Baptist Church would mean something. They'd have relevance, wouldn't they? And I'm not talking about all First Baptist churches. There may be some true church, First Baptist churches out there. I'm talking about the Southern Baptist churches, ABA Baptist, churches. It says in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 4, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what matters, isn't it? As long as Jesus is here. And if he's here, the Holy Spirit's here. If he's here, the Father's here, isn't he? Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Where I am, there you are, there he is too. So the meaning of the word church itself demands attendance. The Greek word is ekklesia, meaning a called out assembly. Think about that, folks. You are part of a called out assembly. Not a human call, but a factual call from God himself. For the purpose of meeting in a public place, he's assembled together. Go to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12. He says, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church, in the midst of the congregation, will we sing praise unto thee. The very word itself means that we faithfully come together and sing, pray, preach, praising the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we fail to do this, we are failing to assemble ourselves together for the purpose of worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything means something in the church, folks. We're not just here. You don't just come here. You don't just come here and be a part of something and go home and never think about it again. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are a family that God has joined together for the purpose to worship and to serve our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in faith. Let's all stand.